Welcome back to VFN Radio. We are going to begin our extra hour today. God bless you to everybody who's joining us today. We're so excited about what we're going to be talking about today. We'll be right back in just a moment. I am Pat Hamilton, and standing in today for Greg Lancaster is the one and only John Ramos.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos.
Welcome back to VFN Radio.
I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today for the extra hour is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
My goodness, I forgot to ask you. You know, this was the start of football. Did the Saints play yesterday?
No, they did not play yesterday.
Okay, we were all spared. All right, very good.
Yeah,
thank
they
you.
They did not
thank
play.
You.
They did not show up.
They did not show up.
I think they sent the scrubs in.
Oh, they attempted to play yesterday.
Something happened, but it was not a game.
Something happened, but they did not. They were in the game, but not really in the game, is what you're trying to say.
Something like that.
Ooh, well, New York Jets won.
The Giants didn't, though.
Did the Giants get scrubbed?
I think they blew it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, welcome back to the extra hour. We have so much to share and so much to talk about, but in our original intent moment, we want to talk about an article that just came out in the Wall Street Journal a few days ago, actually to the end of last week, and it's talking about, listen to this, bad secret orders that target emails. And apparently the U.S. government has obtained what is now called this controversial type of secret order, and it forced Google and this small internet provider to turn over information from email accounts of a volunteer that worked over at WikiLeaks. Mm-hmm. And this gentleman, Applebaum is his name. He's never been charged with a crime or anything. He's not, you know, he's just a volunteer there, but he's never been charged with any kind of crime. But Google and this other internet provider, they even fought the secret order to turn over the information and the email accounts, and they lost. Mm-hmm. And they were forced to turn everything over, all the information, to the government. And what happens is the government requested included the email addresses of people that this gentleman corresponded with over the last 2 years. So, like, two years of data. Now, people are being really concerned about this because this is a Fourth Amendment issue, and it looks like it's violating constitutional rights. And you remember that the Fourth Amendment The Fourth Amendment, which is, you know, the first 10 are your Bill of Rights, but the Fourth Amendment has to do with search and seizure. Mm-hmm. And their laws, the Constitution, is there to protect us from illegal searches of our property, of our persons, of our houses, of our papers. Mm-hmm. And what we're finding now is that with digital, we need to make some adapt. It needs to be made clear. I mean, it's clear to most people that, hey, that, you know, this is a digital paper. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Not a physical paper. This is a digital paper. But there's this order, there's this federal law that lets, I don't know how this came in, but it's a federal law that lets the government secretly obtain information from people's email and cell phones without a search warrant.
Wow.
And several court decisions, they've questioned whether this law, it comes from the Electronic Communications Privacy Act. But they're questioning whether this violates the United States Constitution, our Fourth Amendment, because this is unreasonable. Why did you have to do a secret order? What's to deal with all that? It was passed in 1986, I believe, and basically, this was before the internet was even came on the scene. The internet came on 3 years later, back in 1989. So this law was prior to that. And now you have companies like Google, Microsoft, AT&T, they're lobbying Congress to update this law because they're saying, listen, you know, you're putting us in a compromised situation. Mm-hmm. These are our customers and you're forcing us to secretly give over these documents to you. Mm-hmm. And they don't know anything about them. You know, the law was designed to give, you know, same protection to, you know, electronics. But this has been a really serious, serious issue. Right. And the thing about it is that why does it have to be in secret? I mean, if you want the documents, if the person's been charged with a crime, and here's the reason. Well, actually, there's a provision why it's secret. I'm sorry, there is a provision. The person whose email is inspected, often they never know that the search is being conducted. Listen to that. Your email could be requested.
Yeah.
All the emails you've sent for the last 2 years, like this gentleman, mm-hmm. and you'll probably never know that information was being turned over. This is your private. This is your computer. You're sending emails. You're not breaking any laws.
Right.
Right. And that's because the court orders under this 1986 law are almost always sealed, the article says. And the internet provider is generally prohibited from notifying the customer whose data is being searched. So not only are they searching your data, but you have no idea that they could potentially be searching your data. And so the secrecy makes it difficult to determine, you know, how often these court orders are actually being introduced. Who knows? Who knows how many of them are out there now? Back in 2009, Google began disclosing the volume of requests that they were getting for user data from the government, from the U.S. government. And in 6 months, ending from December 31st all the way, they said they received 4,600 requests and complied with about 94% of them. Mm-hmm. And that's all forms of data, including search warrants, subpoenas, and requests under 1986. And that's everything. Mm-hmm. But sometime later, the federal courts, in a landmark decision at one time, they actually said that the government in a different case violated the Fourth Amendment before when it obtained 27,000 emails without a search warrant. Mm-hmm. So in other cases, this has already been proven that this, you know, something very similar has happened.
Right.
And we have to be educated. You got to know what your rights are. I mean, if the government is secretly getting emails and, you know, listen, they, I'm sure they have reason. I'm sure they have, you know, if they're doing it, we don't want to project ill will to anybody, the government, but they are still constitutional rights just because, you know, you still have rights. There still is a way to do that. Mm-hmm. And there still is a proper way to proceed with those things. And so what we want to do today is actually revisit a great segment that was done and shared on VFN Radio prior to on the Fourth Amendment. You know, something about, I shared with you last week, you know, I'm honest with you, but you've been listening. You already know I'm not the sharpest knife in the stack here, you know. Pat on the other hand, you know, he's a genius. He is brilliant. Right. But I need to hear things several times over and over again just to kind of get it, you know?
Yeah.
And so we're gonna listen to this and we're gonna share, but this is about the Fourth Amendment. This is listen, with cameras everywhere, we have segments already. I mean, we have a segment that you can see on the Torch called Our Data Should Be Protected. Mm-hmm. So you can go to the Torch and you can search these things, but our data should be protected. We've talked about this before, but you know what happens, you know, out of sight, out of mind, you know, and if it's not mm-hmm. on your forefront, you won't honor, you won't protect the Constitution that we shared again last week, how important it was, what the framers had in mind when they were putting together. And in particular, they didn't even want to sign the Constitution until they knew that the rights of the citizens were going to be protected, until they mm-hmm. had a Bill of Rights. And right. so nameless and faceless people have passed away working hard to make sure that these rights were installed in the Constitution. And many, many soldiers later on fighting in wars have died to mm-hmm. make sure to uphold the Constitution. So we want to make sure that we're aware, and we don't want our rights being violated. Certainly we don't want anyone else's rights being violated. Right. So listen up and let's listen to this and let's get this.
You know, I want to talk about original intent for a moment. We always talk about the original intent of America and the original intent of the church. Right now, it's the original intent of our founding fathers. And I'm looking at the Constitution. You need to get your little pocket version, a handbook version of the Constitution, so you can carry it with you. Understanding, you know, as we begin to see, you know, things being challenged and people saying they want to do away with the Constitution, you know, things are, right?
Yeah.
We saw, you know, things that they called it an outdated document in some of the universities. Our judiciary branch, you know, one of our justices are telling Egypt, don't use America's Constitution. It's outdated. You need to go to one of the countries in Africa to be able to use theirs. There has more openness in regards to abortion and some other things. You can go ahead and bring that into. They're trying to, you know, all this, like, really? You know, you're sworn to actually defend the Constitution from enemies, you know, foreign and domestic. And so I'm looking at here, and, you know, coming from the experience of, you know, being in law enforcement for about over 9 years, your law enforcement officers live every single day, you know, by the Constitution. I mean, the government used to.
Right.
You know, it used to be, you know, that used to be the thing. For some reason, it's just like they want to change it. But every single day, your lawyers, your judges, and your the law enforcement are applying the Constitution to your community every single day. And they know probably better, because everything that they do has to be checked for if it's constitutionally correct. Did you violate somebody's constitutional rights? And so they're thinking more about the Constitution probably than more others who go back and judge them afterwards. Mm-hmm. You know, it's easier that, you know, you're in a crazy situation and you're about to lose your life or something. You're trying to, you know, make quick decisions. So the officer has to be well-trained and experienced to be able to do that, because they don't want to violate somebody's rights. Because if you do, I'm looking at the Fourth Amendment right here, that if you do, then they actually let the person go.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole Constitution is for you, the individual. It is not for the government. It was created to protect you and me, the people. It was not meant to protect the government. The Constitution was meant for you, the people, not for the government.
Right.
You know, it's like it's totally turned around now. It's like they're trying to create a document that empowers them and disempowers people.
Right.
So knowing the Constitution, getting back to the original intent of our founding fathers, we need to do that so we don't lose it. But the Fourth Amendment talks about this. This is the Fourth Amendment. It says the right of the people to be secure. Mm-hmm. Think about it. You have a right to be secure.
Mm-hmm.
The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers. That's back when things were done on papers, but it's talking about what's written on the papers.
Mm-hmm.
And effects against unreasonable search and seizure shall not be violated. In other words, don't touch my stuff. Don't read my stuff. Don't look at my stuff. And don't go in my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what it's saying.
Yeah.
Right? Then it goes on and says, and shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issued or be issued but upon probable cause. So they can't even just conjure something up and say, hey, you know, give me a warrant, Judge. I want to be able to go and look in Pat's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his papers, his effects, his house is enough. And he says, but upon probable cause, then it can be issued, supported by an oath of affirmation, which means that person who wants to search your stuff, I don't care if the FBI, the CIA, the local police, or the local sheriff, or the local whoever, they have to raise their hand before God and that judge, and they have to swear, give their word as if that means something. It does, you know, I'm telling you, if you understood who our law enforcement officers are, you'd have such respect for them, because they are the tools, everyday tools, and the judges of the Constitution. They're making sure that nobody takes advantage of it, and they do, they actually undo it. And they have to swear an oath to it. And particularly describing, they have to actually describe very specifically the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. First of all, what does probable cause actually mean? It's important, you got to understand that. Probable cause means this. This particular person who says they want to search your belongings, search your papers, search your houses, search your data. There you go. This is a big thing. Search your data. They have to swear an oath that they have a probable cause to believe. Probable cause. And probable cause is defined as this. They believe a crime has been or is about to be committed. There's evidence proven, not suspended. Like, you know, I just think that person is a bad person. That don't do it.
Right.
And that would be thrown out of court. That they can't, they have to actually say, well, you know, I saw the drugs in their hands. I saw the money exchange. It's like when somebody's, when police officers happen to break up any kind of prostitution, they sometimes have to get involved in the process so they can see the money exchange hands. If the money doesn't exchange hands, then the services weren't purchased and they get thrown out of court.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 'cause that's to be, believe it or not, even the prostitute has constitutional rights and they can't be violated, him or her. And the person who is got caught up in the drug trafficking, you know, they're American citizens and they have constitutional rights. Citizens, your neighbor that lives right next to you has these constitutional rights. Police officers, even though they're enforcing the laws, you can't violate their constitutional rights. You can't search their things or their belongings. I mean, everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
And then not only do you have a probable cause to search that says, okay, you tell the judge, I believe such and such, this probable cause that a crime is or about to be committed. And then you got to describe, you got to write out in a warrant, affidavit, a warrant, very specifically what you're talking about. You can't say yada, 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 violating them. You can't do that. You got to say, you know, I believe they're trafficking and say, just say, you know, dealing in elephants is illegal. Right.
Right.
And, you were just driving by one day and you saw this man trying to squeeze an elephant into the front door of his house, right? And you weren't even paying attention, but you noticed it because the big butt of the elephant was sticking out the door. Yeah, it was kind of stuck in the door jamb. And so you see it. You go, okay, I see the butt of the elephant trying to get into his house. I see the man with the elephant. I know that the law says it's illegal to traffic in that. So this officer would go to the judge, he would write that out, saw the butt of an elephant sticking out the door. It's illegal according to this particular statute, you know, federal law or state law, and that he believes it's violated. And so the judge would read all that, and then he had to raise his hand up, and he would swear.
Mm-hmm.
I swear I saw the butt of that elephant sticking out the door. This is all to be true. This is the warrant to be true is what he swore.
Right.
And then you go with that warrant, and then you can go to the person's house, and you can search for this elephant. It shouldn't be too hard. He probably still got his butt hanging out the door.
Right.
Depending on your house today. I mean, some big houses. Some big houses in Texas. There's some big houses out there. But know this, that, and so that was, think about all those rights that you had as a person who you know, were being protected at that point. What does that mean? Okay, it means this. Say he got the elephant into the house and your warrant affidavit, the warrant affidavit is used against you. Now it's a warrant, a search warrant. They can now search. And they go in there and they start looking for this elephant. Let's just imagine it's a rather large house and the elephant can move around. But they start looking in your drawers. I'm talking about where you know, down south, that's actually where you store your clothes and
your
stuff.
Your dresser.
Dresser, that's right. Yeah, it's a dresser. And, or they're looking in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're looking in the washing machine. Or they're looking in the back of the toilet. Where that little water stuff's in the back for those in America. And in Europe, they're like in the ceiling. And so finally, they look in the jewelry box on your dresser, and they see a big bag of cocaine or crack or heroin, some drug, illegal drug.
Mm-hmm.
And they arrest you for that. And they arrest you for the drug. And it is against the law to have that drug.
Right.
But they were there under this very specific instruction of the Fourth Amendment that they swore that there was an elephant in the house and they were looking for it. And they arrest you. They take you to jail and they can't find the elephant, you know, but they found the cocaine, which is a more serious charge.
Mm-hmm.
They take it before the judge and the judge will find out if this is constitutionally right. Did they violate your constitutional rights? According to the Fifth Amendment, America,
all right.
Don't give up the Constitution. Listen to me. This is so important. And so the judge would say, well, you know, this is a felony charge. You're going to be, you know, possibly, you know, facing umpteen years in prison. And then your defense attorney, because you have, this is what they read you is your constitutional rights when you're arrested, you know, a variation of this. They say you have the right to remain silent. Which is a pretty smart thing to do, by the way, until you know what's going on. Don't think, well, they're going to think I'm guilty. They're already arresting you, so they probably already think you are. They already believe there's probable cause. Right. Just, you know, you find out what's going on first. We have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. You have the right to an attorney, which is, represents you. Understand this, that if you're going to build a house, you go hire a carpenter. People go, look at you, you're just guilty. You know, I would have built that house myself. It's like, I don't know how to build a house. I don't know how to hammer nails or cut things or whatever. You know, you hire a carpenter. This is your right. You have a right to an attorney, which knows how the law works. And so you can bring your attorney in. This is a constitutional right. Don't let anybody tell you by getting an attorney, you're admitting to guilt. If you're getting an attorney, you're admitting to wisdom.
Yeah.
You know, unless you are one. But it says that a person who represents himself in a court has a fool for a client.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Anyway, so the Constitution set up where you can have legal representation. Then they say this, that, and if you can't afford an attorney, we'll have one appointed to represent you. So we're telling that American citizen, listen, we want justice for you. We don't want to pull the wool over your eyes. We don't want to do you in. We want to just bring this before the judge. We want to bring the light of the Constitution on the situation. We want to put your hand on a Bible that you swear before God, you know, to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Mm-hmm.
And we just want to lay out all the evidence. So the officer's not convicting you. The officer's bringing you before the judge, and the judge's responsibility is to evaluate, and a jury's responsibility is to evaluate, jury of your peers, that if your constitutional rights have been violated, and if they haven't, then to proceed on with the process. If they have been violated, then they will have to dismiss the case. And this is what the search warrant said. It said, we're looking for an elephant,
mm-hmm.
right? And this is what's going to happen. They're going to throw that charge out. Not because you were right in saying it was illegal for them to have these felony drugs, but it was wrong for the fact you shouldn't have been looking in a jewelry box for an elephant, because elephants don't fit in a jewelry box.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't fit in that closet. So if you're looking at places that elephants don't fit, you've moved outside your authority that you were given by the judge, that you swore that you were looking for elephants. So this is important. Listen, the reason why our founding fathers wrote this in the Constitution is because the British soldiers would kick in our front doors. They would take our stuff from us. They would search anytime they want to. You'd walk down the street and they would just search you and take your stuff. They'd look through your papers and you'd just be like, these peasants, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they treated people.
Mm-hmm.
And we're about to lose this. We're about to lose this right that we have, the Fourth Amendment right. And we need to wake up. And let me tell you something, church, you got to understand, you know, we're not going to win in this thing, because anything that wants to take control like this is not God.
Right.
You know, it's demonic. It's a tyrannical rule. I mean, it could be God leading us to a place of captivity because we've been in rebellion, but let's just repent before we go there, and let's continue with this great experiment called America, called freedom, you know, where our rights come from God. And that's your Fourth Amendment right. And so as an officer, an experienced officer, mind you,
mm-hmm.
will know that he can't say that and he can't do that. And if he does, he or she's wasting their time, because it's all going to be thrown out in the end. It's going to make them look bad. And so he would have had to say in his search warrant, that I want to search for cocaine. I wanted to search for something that small. And then he could have looked in the jewelry box and it would have stuck, you know? And so, but he has to have probable cause to believe that the person's a drug dealer too.
Right.
Or doing drugs.
Mm.
And if you don't have probable cause, he's just like, you know, I just want to check his house for drugs. Then he does not have probable cause to believe the drugs are in that house, because he has to believe that a crime is being committed or is about to be committed. See what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's not the fact that you got drugs or somebody's got drugs. It's the fact that they believe that drugs are being, illegal drugs are being used, and that, or about to be used, and a crime is about to be committed. And so they just can't say, hey, I want to search your house for, you know, whatever. I just use drugs for just whatever reason. And, that's a powerful right that we have. It's a huge right that we have. And they're wanting to change the Constitution. If they take away that, then that means they can search your stuff. They can search your things. And the difficult thing that we have going on right now with the Fourth Amendment, you know, our president and his responsibility as a president of the United States is to protect our Constitution of the United States from enemies foreign and domestic. He's supposed to protect our borders, where people physically and physically cannot come over the borders without us first finding out who they are, that they wouldn't come in and violate the rights of somebody in our country. And then going back real quick, like to that Fourth Amendment. So you goes to the court. They present the whole thing, the elephant charges being against you, the cocaine charges being against you. And the judge says this. He goes, since you didn't produce the elephant, and then, I mean, you could say if it don't fit, it don't, you gotta quit. But the illegal cocaine, they throw it out. In America, you see all these newscasters today, they have something that happens in America and they get on their rant and they talk for like 20 days about something. Mm-hmm. But one thing they're not mentioning or ignorant of or just trying to convince people of is not bringing up the Constitution. Mm-hmm. We have a constitutional right. We're innocent until proven guilty. We're just going to the courts to lay everything out, present all of your evidence that says that I'm guilty. And then you as a defendant, the one that's being charged, you do not have to say a word. It's their responsibility. It's the responsibility of the state to present evidence that a crime has been committed beyond any shadow of doubt. They have to convince them that this has happened. So you can just sit there and just watch. Somebody says, I can't believe they're not testifying. First of all, you don't have to. And sometimes, why should you have to say anything anyway? You know, if it's a trumped up charge, if it's something that's not right, and if somebody's got some vendetta or something like that, then, you know, let it all just be spelled out in court and you just sit there and watch it. You know, the jury's instructed you cannot base your decision based on whether the defendant speaks or not speaks. Mm-hmm. That the burden is on the prosecution. It was on the officer who made the arrest. It was on the warrant, the judge, the was signed in the Fourth Amendment. It was on the search and how they did the search. It was on all these specifics. And some people said it was thrown out for a technicality. No, they're thrown out because they violated someone's constitutional right. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Right. And the system's based off of this. It's better to go. It's better to let two guilty men free than to send one innocent man to jail.
Right.
We got to remember that. Mm-hmm. You know, is it worse having two guilty people go free or to sending you an innocent man to jail? I think it's worse sending you an innocent man to jail.
All right.
You know, life has its way of working things out.
Right.
I mean, you think about what happened with O.J. Simpson and all that. It looked like he got free on mm-hmm. the situation, didn't it?
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, he's in jail today.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like, you know, justice just happens over time,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Right.
And so know this, that our system is based on, you know, it's better to let two guilty people go free than to send you, an innocent person, to jail. So if we demand every person that we think in our own mind and exclude the Constitution, exclude the wisdom of the judges and the attorneys and the wisdom of the officers, and we're just going to throw somebody in jail, guess who's next?
Yeah.
Guess who's next? So I want to encourage you, you know, when somebody talks to you or you hear people talking about or your legislature talking about your congressman or your senator saying that the Constitution is outdated and they need to do away with it. When our Supreme Court justice, you know, I believe it was Ginsburg's telling the Egyptian leaders not to use the Constitution that she swore to be able to defend, you know, and to make sure that our laws are constitutional, she needs to be impeached. She needs to be removed from office yesterday. A president who doesn't defend the Constitution, who doesn't stand up from enemies of a foreign and domestic, needs to be removed from office. That a congressman or a senator who doesn't defend it needs to be removed from office. A military person who's serving the military, who swore to uphold it and defend it, they need to be removed from the military. Every aspect. And a person it's a citizen of America that becomes an enemy of the state and an enemy of the Constitution, they need to be removed. That's mm-hmm. just it.
Right.
Because we all pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States for the republic, not democracy, for which it stands. It's a representative government. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Well, welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat Hamilton. And that was such an amazing segment. I mean, it was just so in-depth, and we got a chance to really see, you know, and get the perspective of how important our Constitution is and our rights. I mean, you know, Pat, we've talked about it so many times before, but, mm-hmm. you know, we just didn't know. I just didn't know. Yeah. I just didn't know.
Right. Yeah. And no, I do.
He just didn't know. And you think, well, we are really privileged. But like anything else, if you fail to recognize what you have, you're definitely going to lose it.
Right.
You can almost guarantee that it's not going to be
gone.
There.
That's right.
You're going to guarantee because you didn't treasure it. You didn't hold on to it, and you didn't learn. And I encourage you, get yourself a pocket constitution. Download that thing, buy it, keep it in your back pocket, look at it and read it, and just look over the amendments themselves. It'll get you to appreciate our judicial system. It'll get you to see and look at the news from a whole different perspective. Why rights of others who are doing wrong are being protected, and why you should be protected. Mm-hmm. Not to mention that I think it's a good statement. I think that it's better to allow two people to go free than to convict an innocent person.
Mm-hmm.
What if that was you?
That's right.
If that was me.
Yeah.
You know, which. Thank God for a jury of your peers. You know, oftentimes I hear people complain about being selected for jury duty, but someone told me, "Hey, wouldn't you want someone like you to be on the jury if it was you? Wouldn't you want someone like you?"
All right.
And so it's a responsibility for us to have, because these are real court cases, real trial, and some of these things have been thrown out. Some of these things, are. So I want to encourage you: your email, your data should all be protected.
That's right.
All the storage. And now with all this cloud computing and digital storing everywhere, mm-hmm. I'm telling you, this is we're going to hear more and more and more of this.
That's right.
But if you don't know, you're going to let your rights to be violated when they don't have to be violated.
Mm-hmm.
And there's deterioration. It's just amazing. I forgot who somebody once said that if you tell a lie long enough and loud enough, people will begin to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing. If there's twisting, continual twisting, louder, 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 before you know it, it's like, oh, it always was.
That's
it
right.
always was. So I want to share with you this morning, as we're coming close to the end of the halfway mark of our extra hour, I want to share with you the wisdom moment, the moment of wisdom. And we'll let you share every day a wisdom moment out of the book of Proverbs, and generally the corresponding day. There's 31 Proverbs chapters in the book of Proverbs, and there's 30, 31 days, sometimes 28 days in the month. What we'd like to do is just correspond those 2 days, the chapter with the day, and share a word of wisdom. And today's moment of wisdom is found in Proverbs 10, verse 12. Hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers over all wrongs. Hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers over all wrongs. You know, we have a choice. Every day, myself, our neighbor, our friends, our coworkers, our family members, we all have a choice whether we're going to move and operate in love or move and operate in hatred. It is amazing that you ever hear people say, when they're describing themselves, how many times have you ever heard someone describe themselves, "I am just a hateful person. I'm hateful, I'm mean, I am rude."
Right.
And no. What do you always hear? "I am so loving. I am generous. I am kind." Like an interview. "I am a people person. I really, really like people." I'm like, really? Really? Are you a people person?
Yeah.
Well, I can't say on an interview, "I'm not." Well, hello. Why can't you? Why can't
you? Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. I do.
So dissension, right? What's dissension? A strong disagreement, contention, or quarrel. Hatred stirs quarrels up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't look at a certain, certain attribute or certain thing when we're reading God's word and have preconceptions or ideas of what we're reading and what we want that word to match to ourselves. You know what I'm saying? If I have a warped conception, let's say, that I'm just always loving, and maybe there's, just 100%.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never even consider the fact that maybe, just maybe that day, I moved in hatred, or that moment. And one of the things that we have to do is just be real with God and real with ourselves, so that when we're reading God's word,
mm-hmm.
it does what God's word says is going to do. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our heart. I mean, maybe you might have said something ugly.
Right.
Maybe what you said was hateful. Maybe what you did was hateful. And maybe God wants to show it to you. Maybe you did something that was loving. But either way, you don't want to come into reading the word with any kind of prejudices about yourself. You just kind of want to let your heart to be wide open before God. Because whatever God tells you, you want to do it. Whatever it is, whatever it is. It's like someone said, did you get a good prophetic word? It's like, what are you talking about? Every prophetic word is good. You
That's
know what I'm
right.
God is
That's
speaking.
Right.
God is speaking. It's all good. And so what is hate? Hate is to dislike intensely or passionately. It's to feel an extreme aversion to hostility. It's just mm-hmm. hate. And when we see dissension, we need to peel back. We need to look further, peel back and see what is operating in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes we look at things, we think, oh, it's just this. No, there's something happening in the background. What's operating in that computer that's causing that thing to pop up? It just didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see that it's hate.
All right.
When you're seeing dissensions and factions and strife, I mean, my goodness, I want to start talking one day about, how to live a peaceful life in a strife-filled, chaotic world. I mean, it's just everywhere you go, there just seems to be strife and mm-hmm. chaos. And you think about it, maybe you're at your job and people are just getting up and working, and it's like, it's 9 o'clock in the morning already? Already? You just came in with a pig pen of strife, a pig pen of it's like, and what's happening, I think what I believe is happening is that oftentimes people are leaving their homes that are so strife filled and they're just bringing that into the workplace. And you work with 10, 15, 20 people in a department that are bringing all their different stuff and all their chaotic experiences, maybe in their home or in their marriage and their situations, and they bring it and it's like all converging at the, you're looking for an explosion to occur.
Mm-hmm.
And it just stirs up. It just stirs up dissension, strife. And you just got to deal with it. Hatred stirs it up. But love, mm-hmm. love is the opposite. Love covers all wrongs.
All right.
Honestly, love is the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it promotes peace. You know, and love covers an offense. And we have to make a choice. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can get upset and hurt about in any given day.
Right.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just life. People are going to say, people are going to do, people are not going to do
mm-hmm.
at things that are hurtful, things that maybe are hateful. But if we choose to dwell on them, if we choose to sit on that, you're going to go down. You're going to go down. We need to choose love, you know. And I want to grow more and more in this area of my life, you know, in many areas. But I definitely want to grow in my ability to love. 1 Peter 4:8 says that above all else, love each other deeply. I love that. They didn't know this. The word deeply wasn't omitted. It wasn't just enough to love, Pat. It was mm-hmm. it was to love each other deeply. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of sins, and love chooses to not bring up the matter anymore. Love is not worried about right or wrong, but rather just promoting that love. And sometimes people have, you know, like I said, different ideas or conceptions of what they think love is. The truth is that you can only love someone to the extent and to the proportion that you know what love is. If you've never experienced love, or the love that you the feelings that you associate with love are you know, basic or mm-hmm. or hurtful, is like, I am loving you. Don't you know this is, you know, if,
right.
you know, if your love is getting knocked around and hit and be like, I'm loving you. Mm-hmm. I'm loving you. What's your problem? You know, but the quality of your love is only based on the dimension that you've experienced love.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we spend so much time trying to love that we don't spend enough time receiving love.
Right.
Once you receive the Father's love, once God touches you in your heart, you've received the Father's love. You've actually experienced the most purest, the most amazing love possible. Once you've experienced that, then only then are you qualified really to allow that to flow through you, to allow right. that to be extended. That's your reference. That's your grid of what love is. It's like the thing about, you know, forgiving. Oftentimes, I think the people that the most challenges forgiving others are those that haven't received forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've received forgiveness from God, once you receive God's amazing forgiveness for the things, for the sins that you have done, there's such an amazing, overwhelming sense of gratitude, such an overwhelming sense of, Oh, I've been granted mercy. I've been granted mercy. That forgiveness that you received from God will then be just flowing outside of you so that you can forgive others.
Right.
And think about it. We spend all this time. Love, 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 love. Just love. Just love. You know, I'm going to love. I'm going to love. I'm going to love. And I'm going to forgive. And I'm going to forgive. And it's like, but I can't keep doing it. Or it's like, your love is hurting me. I know you say that you're loving me, but I define your love as hurt right now. We need to maybe focus on receiving God's love.
That's right.
It's like, we need to spend some time understanding that the Father loves us, that my goodness, look what he did. I mean, he says love covers all wrongs. Wasn't it God's love for us that covered all of our wrongs? Wasn't his love for us that took away all of our sins?
Mm-hmm.
When we're loving other people and we're not counting their issues and the things that they did to us, we're not counting it. We're not going to take tally. We're not going to keep score. We're not going to say, I saw that I'm going to take a mental note of it. When we choose not to do that, we're operating like Jesus did. We're operating like God did.
Right.
God's not taking mental score of the stuff that we've done. When we've asked him to forgiveness, the Bible says he separates our sins as far as the east is from the west.
Mm-hmm.
He'll make us from, you know, he'll make us pure and white as snow. And we need the grace of God. We need God's supernatural empowerment to move and to walk in a place of love. Because I'm going to tell you, love conquers all. And we need to settle not for our own perception of what love is.
Mm-hmm.
What does God say love is? What does the Bible say that love is?
Right.
So you can talk to 10 different people. Let me tell you, you'll get 10 different answers on what they think love is. And it's like, why not we go, you know, let's go to the source. And 1 Corinthians 13 is often quoted as the love chapter. But I think it's often quoted, but not so often meditated on, you know, practiced,
right.
and absorbed. And the first few verses in chapter 4, first few statements, it starts telling you what love is not. Love is patient.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we're not being patient, we're not being loving.
Right.
Pretty deep. Love is kind. If we're being rude, then that was just not loving.
Mm-hmm.
Love, it does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not rude. If you're being rude, then it means their love is not present.
Mm-hmm.
It's not self-seeking. That seems to be a big one.
Right.
Because when we're trying to take score, and we're talking about the moment of wisdom. We're talking about how we can understand God's purposes and his ways. How can we bring wisdom in our life? Hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers all wrongs. You know, if we're going to get along, if we're going to have peace in the home, if we're going to have peace in the workplace, if we're going to have peace in the family, if siblings, Pat, I just heard yesterday in Queens, a sister called 911 and told them, you need to get here because I'm going to kill my brother. You need to get here. I'm telling these people, they were in their 20s. Do you know that she wound up killing her brother?
Oh, my goodness.
She wound up stabbing him. And the report said that this family, the neighbors were saying they had a strife in the home, that they were constantly, the brothers were taking fistfights in the streets and all this. And you think, what happened there? What got loosed in that home?
Wow.
That there could be so much hatred and dissension and it's being stirred up. And I'll tell you, don't take it lightly when your kids are arguing and people are saying, you know, just hateful and hurtful things. Those things need to be addressed because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If someone's saying, hey, we need to look at that. We need to see what is in your heart. What is it that it's allowing you to say and do those things to people as if God's eyes are not on us, as if God doesn't see.
Mm-hmm.
We need to move in love.
Right.
And the Bible's clear. So it's not self-seeking. It's not looking for a place to measure up and how does this benefit me. But love always says you go first.
Mm-hmm.
You go first.
That's right.
It's not easily angered. Uh-oh. It's not easily angered. It's not annoyed constantly, right? It keeps no record of wrongs. I want to encourage you that if you want to break that, you want to get wisdom in your home, wisdom in your life, wisdom in your workplace, wisdom amongst your friends and families. Don't keep records of wrongs, you know, because the same way that you know, Bible says, you know, forgive as I have forgiven others. You know, if you're keeping a list, you certainly don't want God to keep a list. It's like, oh, never mind. I'll throw this away. Mm-hmm. You know, because we don't want lists. Lists are not good. If you're keeping a list on mm-hmm. someone, trust me, God can keep a list on you, doesn't. And love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It's not happy when evil things are. That's not love. It love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes, and love always perseveres. Love never fails. Love never fails. And the highest form of love is not a feeling, right? It's a phileo love. The city of Philadelphia, right? It's just like it's not a feeling, but the highest form of love is an act. It's out of your own volition. You chose to do that. You willed to do that. And I think that if we willed more, if we chose love more, we would see some beautiful things happen. But we have to be a receiver of God's love.
Right.
Gotta be a receiver of God's love. Oh my goodness. The wisdom moment today is found in Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers over all wrongs. We'll be right back.
Yeah, I think about that, promise keepers, when Coach mm-hmm. McCartney, began, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get, men together, and we got to get right. people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, mm-hmm. then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums yep. weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you mm-hmm. go look at our history, mm-hmm. our history started with next step. And it was right. it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, and they went back to sleep, and they got back mm-hmm. seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily, and we finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. We had right. to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus mm-hmm. and fill one particular stadium. And right. he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Mm. Once. Wow. And then when he would preach once, think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. Mm-hmm. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today,
right?
And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this. In VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN Radio program,
that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, mm-hmm. or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen, and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's a dollar a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
He's like, chocolate.
Yeah. Do you want to believe this?
Yeah. Tell me.
His beautiful, beautiful daughter, Jordan Sky, was visiting. And, it took a long time. You know, Pat, I mean, everything that Pat over the years had told me, he was made fun of me about. Everything.
Well, I don't make fun of you.
Dude, you just, I mean, we don't have the airtime for that. We don't have the airtime for it. You know what I'm saying?
Come on now.
Come on. That means you really did this wrong. So I said, Jordan, would you like some chocolate? I like dark chocolate. I like that chocolate. It's like almost dirt.
Black.
Like 92% dirt. No, I like 72, something like that. I don't know something. I mean, if you get too high, it is like dirt. But anyway, so I had this dark chocolate. I mean, it's a candy bar, dude. It's a candy bar. You know what I'm saying? And I break off a piece of this candy bar, and I give it to Jordan, and she puts it in her mouth. And the first thing she says, dude, she says, "This tastes like coffee."
That's my girl.
I'm thinking, where did that come from? How could you think that chocolate tastes like coffee?
It does.
Until I realized that I saw a big foo-foo truck backing up to Pat's house with chocolate creamery going into his back house, you know, loading it into his refrigerator.
I do not use foo-foo anymore.
He has a dropper.
I use powder foo-foo.
Yeah. It's like he's got like a dropper, like a syringe of coffee, like one cc of coffee and 4 gallons of chocolate.
He has an IV of it. I mean,
it's totally amazing. Just chocolate alone will wire you. Just eat the chocolate. Forget about the coffee, man. It'll wire you.
I guess. By the way, speaking of Jordan, you know it's her birthday tomorrow.
Happy birthday, Jordan. Enjoy the coffee.
Yeah. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat Hamilton. Oh, my goodness. Coffee. Oh, my poor Jordan. Jordan. Oh my!
Chip off the old blog.
Well, I wanted to share real quick with our VFN Radio listeners as we're getting ready to come to the end of our extra hour. I wanted to share a scripture with you, and found in Luke chapter 9. What it says is, they were walking along the road. A man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Speaking about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go bury my fathers." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow, looks back, is fit for the service in the kingdom of God." And Pat, you know, I was reading that and sharing that and thinking about that. I thought, you know, certain things just perplexed me. You know what I mean? You know, the more that I hang out with the Lord and the more I try to follow his ways, the thing that sticks out to me often is that I don't have a grid for him. You know, my plans are not like his plans. Uh-huh. My ways are not like his ways. And every time I think that, you know, this should make sense. It's totally outside of his paradigm, outside of what he wants to do. I'm finally learning to say, you know what, God, let me just, how about you just tell me what you want? I won't give you any suggestions. I won't kind of bring my plans to the table. So like, you know, it's like your children coming to the table and saying, "Oh, I'm going to help you guys budget, make the budget. Okay. I've got my pencils and my papers and I got my calculator." It's like, can you just sit down? Mm-hmm. But one of the things that perplexes me here is that Jesus says, "Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." You know, think about that. If it was me, and we're talking about Jesus, you know, this is something that doesn't fit my blueprint, my concept of what I think maybe should have happened, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, if we look back, we can say, sure, the Son of God, if he was going to be born, I mean, if it was me, we would have put him in the best hotel that we had available, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
He was born in a manger, you know? If he was going to travel and preach the good word, right? And share and do miracles and signs and wonders, we could at least got him a horse and a chariot and, you know, right. some rims for that thing. I don't know. We could have hooked it up, you know?
Right.
But no, he walked. If he was walking, my plans, my ideas would, you know, at least get him some comfortable Jordans or something. Give him some nice Birkenstocks.
Right.
You know, I'm joking and I'm sharing with this and I'm, you know, but did you think about it? If we were trying to fit God into our paradigm, it just doesn't work. He has his own paradigm. God has his own way of doing things. And so as I was thinking about this, there's so much more to share. And hopefully, throughout the week, we can share more about this. But one of the things is that God operates outside of our minds.
That's right.
Outside of our plans. It would not have thought to us that foxes have holes, they have a place, and the birds of air have nests. Mm-hmm. But the Son of Man has no place to lay his head.
Right.
And I want to encourage you that God's not out of his mind. He's out of your mind.
That's the truth.
He's out of your mind. He operates off of a plane that's so different than ours, but we can certainly trust him. Let me tell you, God has a plan. He is faithful. He is true. He hasn't fallen asleep. You know, he doesn't sleep, nor does he get slumber. He's always on watch. You can trust him. Don't reduce God to your ways and to your blueprints. Lift your vision higher and let God be in control. Well, thank you so much for joining us today on VFN Radio. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Thank you so much for joining us on VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can see us on VFNTV.com. You can also see us on your mobile phone and your iPad applications and your Androids. To find out more at VFNTV.com or in your application store. God bless you until we meet again. VFN Radio. God bless.